Welcome and greetings in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you as we look at the Word of God and see what the Lord would have for us today and see what encouragement we can glean from His Word. I wanted to touch on a topic that I've been pondering on here of late. And that is the topic of oppression and how we relate to it. going all the way back to the fall of Satan or Lucifer, I see two aspects to that. And one is the aspect of his rebellion, which we hear a lot of. And the other is the aspect of his oppression, which we don't hear so much of. But Isaiah chapter 14 may refer to this from I'll read verse 12 to 17 in Isaiah 14. He says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakens the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners?" And it gives a picture of oppression. So Satan, the instigator of both rebellion and oppression. I believe we all know what rebellion is. We all know what oppression is. And we hear a lot about rebellion, but we don't hear quite so much about oppression. And there's a lack of good teaching on how to relate to oppression. And I'm not sure I have a lot of answers, but I would like to touch on it just a bit. Not sure how deep we'll get here today. But just looking at maybe example, or just draw our attention to different times of oppression. So when Satan began to tempt man, of course, beginning there in the Garden of Eden, he tempted them to rebel or disobey, which they did. But about the next thing we can read, as far as the sins of mankind, was one of oppression when Cain slew his brother. And it says that he slew him because he murdered him because his own works were wicked, while those of his brother were righteous. And I believe that's somewhere in the writings of the Apostle John. I don't have that reference handy. I believe it might be in the first epistle. Or perhaps if it's not in John, it would be in Jude. I can check that quickly. Well, I'm not really seeing it, so I believe it's in John. And I should have checked that reference, but I did not. So, anyway, we have the incident there with Cain and Abel as an act of oppression. And then oppression includes violence. It didn't take long there, at least not in our reading of it. Of course, there were hundreds of years, maybe over 1,000 years from the time of Adam to the time of the flood. But sometime before the flood, it says that the earth was filled with violence. And this is, of course, a
oppression. Now, oppression itself can be termed, you know, rebellion, because we're disobeying God when we mistreat or oppress people.
But still, it has its own term there, and its own issues, and it needs a way of relating to it, and just amazing to consider looking at God and the way that He relates to mankind, how He relates to all of humanity, both those who are His children and those who are not obedient to Him, how He is able to rule over the earth without any oppression at all. Throughout the thousands of years and all the times that man has tested God and provoked Him, He has never once resorted to any kind of oppression to deal with man. And that is just really amazing to stop and consider that, and just ponder on that. When Jesus came to earth, he had the Father's heart, or He was, the way that He felt was the way that the Father feels about things. So we can see how Jesus acted or reacted to situations, and we can see what the Father's heart is, because He said, "He who sees me sees the Father." And if we look at the things that God would, throughout the Old Testament, we look at the things that God would condemn nations or people for, many times it is oppression, acts of violence against other people. So when God sent the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and He named the things that were detestable to Him among the Canaanites, He's talking about their child sacrifice and just their wicked ways of oppression. And excuse me, but all the kings of Israel, they all, to one extent or another, of Judah, of Israel, starting with Saul and continuing to the fall of Jerusalem, all or most of them were, to a greater or lesser degree, were oppressors. And so God then would send the prophets to warn them, to rebuke them, and to try to restrain their oppression. Government originally seems to have been ordained by God to restrain man's violence, so that there would be a coercive force here to restrain the wicked inclinations of man, and so keep a man from oppressing his neighbor. But then the governments themselves then became oppressive many times. We can see what God had to say when Israel said that they wanted a king. Found in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the sons of Eli, or the sons of Samuel rather, did not follow in their father's footsteps, and the elders said that they wanted a king. Now this was not
God's desire for them. This was not really what the Lord wanted, but the Lord granted their request and appointed an authority over them. But he told them what would be the behavior of the king. He said, 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting in verse 11, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen." And so continuing on, the king will do what seems best to him, or what serves his own interests best. He will take your daughters. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves. He will take a tenth of your grain. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And then in verse 18, he said, "And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us." And it continues from there. And it turned out that Saul did indeed become an oppressor. He oppressed David very much. David himself fell and became an oppressor. Maybe we'll look at that incident sometime. And in a bit more detail, Solomon taxed the people heavily, and his son after him, and in one way or another, there was a lot of oppression. And so, looking specifically at Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the people cried for release from the heavy burden of taxes that they were under. So here was a generation of people who were born under a king as a consequence of their forefathers requesting a king. Now they were under a heavy burden. They had not had any say in the matter. And so that's something that I see a lot of today. We have different kinds of oppression. We have political oppression, you know, where governments are oppressing people. We see that in a lot of other countries, far worse than anything we experience here. And then we have religious oppression, and that's a little bit more what I was thinking of. We have people who come of age in a religious group where there's a lot of oppression, and they had no choice in where they were born, but they are in this system of it that's an oppression, because at some point one of their forefathers gave themselves under an authority who ruled as a king, or as a lord, meaning someone who will make decisions and that are in their own best interest. So a worldly king will, or a lord, to use that phrase. When I use that phrase, I'm speaking of one who will make decisions that are in his best interest and not necessarily in the best interest of those under his authority. So when we have religious authorities who do this, acting as kings and lords, making decisions in their own best interest, it becomes a very grievous form of oppression. And
I
hope that we can look at that in some more detail and see how Jesus responded to that and some of his sternness rebukes were to this form of religious oppression. And so my heart goes out to those who have been born into this kind of situation, just as the people were in the day of Solomon or Rehoboam. And they said, it's too much. We can't bear this. It's just too heavy. And they broke away from that. And but they would never have come under that had their forefathers been faithful in seeking after the Lord and in the way that they were instructed to. So anyway, let's ponder on that thought that Satan is both the instigator of rebellion and oppression, instigator of both, and both are wrong. They're both a sin. They're both an act against God. And we will see what solutions the Lord may have for us in His Word as well on another day. God bless you.